Welcome back. This is Sight to the Blind. I hope everybody's in a good mood this fine Wednesday morning. Somebody posed a very interesting question on the last episode when I was talking about bloodlines. Brother Jean, hope I pronounced that right, said that was Eve pregnant before she laid down with Adam? When the Most High talked about the seed of Satan versus the seed of Adam, was he maybe talking about Cain? And I thought about this too. And in only in the Pseudepigrapha, volumes 1 and 2, it talks about the apocalypse of Adam and Eve, or the life of Adam and Eve. They alluded to that Eve slept with the serpent, and that's where we get the seed of Satan or whatever. But that doesn't make sense to me because it didn't say anywhere in Scripture that Eve was an adulteress. It doesn't say that she laid with the serpent. She just hearkened to the serpent or listened to the serpent. It didn't say that after she ate of the forbidden tree of knowledge that she opened her legs and busted open for the serpent. It doesn't say that, or Satan either. What I think and believe, now this is me leaning on my own understanding, and I'm going to use examples of why I believe what I believe. I think the seed of Satan is born out of disobedience from either the parents or it's just the way it is. I don't think Satan has a physical seed because Satan isn't mentioned anywhere in Scripture of having transgressed like the fallen angels transgressed and leaving their habitation in the sky or leaving their heavenly abode and sleeping with human women. It doesn't say Satan did any of these things. We know that Satan hates mankind. He hates the fact that Yah created this creation and told Satan to bow before it or to serve it, and Satan didn't want to do it. Satan thought he could rival the righteousness and power of the Most High anyway, so why would he bow down to anything that Yah created? And why would he sleep with something that was created lower than him? I mean, you have to think, Satan is a diva. He wants to go against everything the Most High has created. So he doesn't want to dirty himself or defile himself by sleeping with Yah's creation. To him, it would make it seem like he's lowering or debasing himself over Yah's creation. He wants to exalt himself like the Most High. So why would he sleep with any of his creations? So I think the disobedience birthed the seed of Satan. It says he was a murderer from the beginning. So if he is someone that went out of his way to get the serpent to betray Adam because he couldn't get to Adam, so he went after the weakest vessel. So going after Eve, he got Eve to betray the Most High. And out of that disobedience, this is Cain's curse. Now, if you go to the angels, their disobedience led to giants. And none of those giants were, as we read in Scripture, the Rephaim and the Nephilim. They weren't upstanding citizens. They wasn't propagating righteousness. What did they do? They was slaughtering mankind, eating mankind, defiling birds and beasts. That's what came out of that bloodline, out of that disobedience. But we never say this is the seed of Satan. We just know that the disobedience causes a generational curse that is passed down and passed down and passed down through its lineages. So if Yah didn't choose a specific bloodline, then everybody else has free reign to do what they want to do. If you go to Ham, through Ham's disobedience, his son was cursed. Through David's disobedience, the infant that he had out of being an adulterer and setting up Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, he was punished through that curse of his infant being taken away from him. But he was able to have another child, which was Solomon. Eve was able to have another child, which was Abel. So I think the disobedience causes a seed to be its own bloodline through a curse. And the curse comes from either both parents or comes from the father. And here we're learning in different examples in scripture, it came from the father. Reuben's disobedience didn't curse the tribe of Reuben. It just took them off of being the firstborn with the birthright and a kingly office. So because of Reuben's disobedience, the entire line, the entire male lineage of Reuben was scrapped. They were just like any other. They were like the second born, the third born, the fourth, not even the fourth born, the fifth born. They were placed to the bottom. Joseph's line was placed to the top because of his righteousness. So another brother asked for me to speak on how you honor your mother and your father, or specifically your father. So I think these two things, these comments run together. Because of the father, his righteousness, his honor can also be passed down. Now we know in scripture that David at some point was righteous, but he had sons that fell to the same exact curses that he went fell to. Obviously, lusting after Bathsheba caused Solomon to lust after the women. And then Solomon's son came to lust after power. So that lust was passed down. Sirach 3. Hear me, your father, O children, and do thereafter that ye may be safe. For Yahuwah has given the father honor over the children and has confirmed the authority of the mother over the sons. Whoso honors his father makes an atonement for his sins. And he that honors his mother is as one that lays up treasure. Whoso honors his father shall have joy of his own children. And when he makes his prayer, he shall be heard. This is important. Whoso honors his father shall have joy of his own children. So, like I said, disobedience or unrighteousness is passed down if you do not honor your father. And if in that, now here's the difference. If your father is not honorable, if your father is unrighteous, you still have to deal with him as a child with kid gloves on. Now, that doesn't mean you hearken to everything he says, because we know in Jubilees, and I'll get to it later, we know in Jubilees that Abraham had to talk to his father Terah about the idols that he was worshiping. Abraham didn't follow his father's footsteps, but he honored him enough that he gave respect to him. He didn't go out of his way to destroy him, but he destroyed those idols in his house. He didn't talk back to his father. He didn't undermine his father. He didn't demean his father. He was trying to reprove and correct his father based on what he knew. He that fears Yahuwah will honor his father and will do service unto his parents as to his Adonim. Honor your father and mother, both in word and deed, that a blessing may come upon you from them. For the blessing of the father establishes the houses of the children, but the curse of the mother roots out foundations. This is also true when it comes from the father, blessing and cursing. And we know this by going to the story of Ham. Because we know Ham, it didn't say what he did, but we are to assume that Ham saw his father naked and did something to his father. Because Noah said he woke up and knew immediately that Ham did something to him. Now, if Noah got drunk after, you know, a tumultuous journey, which he is due. My man been on the boat 40 days, 40 nights with a whole bunch of animals, not knowing if he's ever going to see Earth again, not knowing if he's going to live or die. He's due to have a little wind down, to have a little drink, to get lit a little bit. I think he's deserving. If we were in his situation, That's first thing we would have done when we got off that boat was wanted to get drunk too. For all the stress and anxiety we went through. So the fact that Christian said, oh, Noah was a drunk. Noah wasn't a drunk. Noah got drunk once. It didn't say Noah got drunk when he made the ark, when he went into the ark. 40 days, 40 nights, he drank. Oh, and then when he came out, he kept drinking. It didn't say that. It said that once that ark was rested and he gave offering, gave an ascending smoke offering, made it a feast, depending on the new moon of a certain month, then he got drunk in the celebration. And somehow we all been drunk before and been lit and had to take your clothes off. For some reason, clothes are really binding and they feel like they're suffocating you when you're lit. So all of us have, as soon as we got into the house being lit, took our clothes off and just laying, get in the bed. That's what Noah did. But it says that he woke up knowing something was wrong, knowing that it was Ham. He didn't say it was Shem or Yafet or any of his grandchildren or any his wife or any of his son's wives, but he knew immediately that it was Ham. And so he cursed Canaan because of the disobedience of Ham. And you see throughout scripture how the Most High rooted out almost the whole entire seed of Canaan. That he was supposed to be a born slave from the time he was conceived to the time he go into that grave. The nation of Canaan were supposed to be born slaves to Yafet and to Shem. This is based on a curse from Noah. And if you understand the bloodline of Ham, then you understand Sodom and Gomorrah, because that's the bloodline of Ham. So you can only imagine that if Ham, at the time of the days of Noah, where they were sleeping with their sisters, they were sleeping with their sons, they were sleeping with the mothers, they were sleeping with the mother-in-laws. That's when you read Deuteronomy, you read Leviticus. It says, do not lay with animals, do not lay with, you know, your siblings, or do not lay with your children. That means they must have been doing it in the days of Noah. It must have been so rampant at the time that the Most High said, look, you know what? I'm going to put this in here. And he did this after they left Egypt. So you can only imagine that they must have been doing it in Egypt too, getting into bestiality, homosexuality, and other different types of perversion. So the fact that the Most High had to put this in Leviticus means that from the bloodline of Ham, this is where that perversion came. And it must have started at Ham. Now, I don't know if Ham slept with his father. He must have did something to his father where he knew his father, where Noah knew that his son did something to him. Now, he must have seen a little sugar in his tank. Maybe. I don't know. He may have seen, you know, he may have observed some sugar in his tank that made him come to the understanding that, yeah, it was him. It ain't going to be my other two sons. I know how this one walked. It was probably him. So that generational curse is washed down into the sons of Ham. But let's get to the blessing. So you can understand how important the blessing is when it comes to honoring our mothers, and especially our fathers. Jubilees 8:18-21. And Noah rejoiced that this portion came forth for Shem and for his sons, and he remembered all that he had spoken with his mouth in prophecy. For he had said, blessed be Yahuwah Elohim of Shem, and may Yahuwah dwell in the dwelling of Shem. Still true to this day. And he knew that the Garden of Eden is the Holy of Holies and the dwelling of Yahuwah, and Mount Sinai, the center of the desert, and Mount Sinai, the center of the desert, and Mount Zion, the center of the navel of the earth. These three were created as holy places facing each other. Now we know where the Garden of Eden is. Now you have to find out where you think the locations of these mountains are. And he blessed the Elohim of Elohim who had put the word of Yahuwah into his mouth, and Yahuwah forevermore. And he knew that a blessed portion and a blessing had come to Shem and his sons unto the generations forever. The whole land of Eden. That's South Africa. The whole land of Eden. And the whole land of the Red Sea. I don't know if that's Red Sea or the Sea of Reeds. and the mountains thereof, and all the land of Bashan, and all the land of Lebanon, and the islands of Kaphtor, and all the mountains of Senir, and Amna, and the mountains of Ashur in the north, and all the land of Elam, Ashur, and Babel, and Shushan, and Medai, and all the mountains of Ararat, and all the region beyond the sea, which is beyond the mountains of Ashur, towards the north, a blessed and spacious land, and all that is in it, it is very good. Now, Shem is supposed to almost encompass the entire land of Africa, because that's what he's talking about. When he says mountains, and he mentions mountains twice, the mountains of Ashur. And I said before, if you look up in the David Rumsey's map collection and type in a god in the text by map section of that page, you will see a god in Northwest Africa. And you see Atlas Mountains, and it lies north. When he got down to Elam, Ashur, and Babel, and Shushan, and Medai, like I said, if you go to David Rumsey's map collection and type in Media or Median or Medra, that is Medai, because Medai was translated to Media, which is the Medo-Persian Empire. That was in Central Africa, and they needed to be next to each other. The Syrians and the Assyrians in Northwest Africa, the Medes in Central Africa, and Babylon, which is Shushan, and Babel is in or near Sudan. So really, he's talking about from the river Euphrates to the river of Mitzrayim, or the Nile, and down is the nation of Yasharel, which happens to be the land of Shem. Ashur and Aram are descendants of Shem, and they were in Northwest Africa. So you arguing with me, trying to say that that fake land over there is our land, but it doesn't match anything in Scripture, and it doesn't match what the blessing to Shem was. It didn't say we would get from Saudi Arabia to the river of the Egyptian river, the Nile. It didn't say that. And all he did was change locations. We grew up with that being Saudi Arabia, that being Iraq, that being Babylon, that being Lebanon, Syria, and so forth. We grew up with it, and we never challenged it. If Satan deceiveth the whole world, and the workers of iniquity were still working in that day that Paul said back then this is before there was Assyria, before there was Iraq, before there was a Sudan. They did nothing but move the locations because it was easily to be moved. All they had to do was buy up the maps. And most of these cartographers were employed by the crown. Now, mind you, they can't, you know, hide everything. There's always cracks in the system. There's always loopholes. No matter how iron tight and ironclad they try to make this system to make it perpetual bondage and slavery, there's still holes in it. Satan did not create a perfect system, because the system is not based on the Ruach of Yahuwah. Only Yahuwah has a perfect system. All his things work in perfection. Satan's doesn't work in perfection, because there's a lot of things that need to be done. There are a lot of cogs in the wheel that need to be turned, and they have to keep rotating them out. So, of course, there's going to be cracks in the system. Not everybody is a Freemason. Not everybody is a Satanist or an atheist. So when these cartographers were employed by the crown or employed by the monarchy that they served, or just cartographers in their day, they was going around putting what they thought was the information that they found through exploring. They didn't know at the time that they would actually have to cover up for the real nation of Yasharel. They didn't know this conspiracy. They may not even been hip to this knowledge. And matter of fact, I'll go further. Maybe the Most High blinded some of these cartographers for them to put the right locations where they were going to be found later. Maybe the Yah blinded them, so he knew that we would come upon this later. Remember, they work crafty counsel against thy hidden ones. So only through the Ruach HaKodesh, the Most High give us this knowledge, and the knowledge of prophecy and information and understanding, to be able to find this so we could unravel this entire world. Not for him to do it, but for us to find it and unravel it through our through our obedience, through our following law, statutes, commandments, and ordinances. that we are given knowledge through him. This is how we understand that we know that he is up there, that he is alive, that he is real, that he's giving us this information. I use this analogy a lot. I started using this analogy a lot. If any of you have seen the movie Men of Honor, if you haven't seen it, see that movie for this purpose. There was a scene where he's trying to be a master diver and he's at diving school. And all of the white divers, they had a tool bag to fix this. I think he called it a flange. It was at the bottom of the ocean and they had to get their tool bag drop down to them so they can pull out the tools and work on it underwater. Everybody's tool bag was intact. When it came to Carl Brashear, when it came to Cuban Gooding Jr.'s character, they took the bag, they knifed it up and dropped the tools. I'm talking about nuts, bolts, wrenches, everything. They dropped it one by one into the water. So it's all over the place. So Carl had to, before he died of hypothermia, because the waters were cold, he had to put together this flange with the nuts and bolts that they just dumped in the water that he had to pick up one by one and use a flashlight one by one to put this flange together. This is what they do to our history. Everybody else's history, they drop. Boom, boom. Asian history, boom. You can learn it in schools. Greek, Roman history, boom, drop it. You can learn it in schools. Even Russia or Nordic or Viking history, boom, they drop it in front of you. But when it comes to us, they'll knife that bag up, dump it in the water, and say, you Negroes figured it out. Here. This is the information that we find, and they scatter it. They scatter our information and say, here, now you figure it out. Because they don't want us to figure it out. They want us to take the most easiest approach to finding out who we are, and that's through either camps or assemblies, false communities, and Christian pastors. That's where they want us to learn our truth from. And all we do is combat each other off stuff that we can learn and find ourselves if we have the time. The thing is, they know we don't have the time. They know majority of Negroes in this country, and anybody in general, they know you don't have the time to want to search for the truth because there's so much distraction, there's so much on your phone, there's so much pleasures in this world to be gotten that they know you're not going to want to dig for the truth. I've been blessed by the Most High to have time to do this. This is why I take the mapping of the real locations of biblical cities and locations serious. But that was a blessing. Noah blessed Shem. He especially blessed Shem because that was prophecy. That prophecy lived on to this day. The only reason why we are chosen because it came from Noah. Let's get to a blessing from Yah to Abraham. Genesis 12:3. And I will bless them that bless you and curse him that curses you. And in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. In Abraham. How? If we follow the righteousness of Abraham. If we follow the path of Abraham. Now, I'm not going to go into the trials of Abraham, but there was a lot of trials that he went through. The trial of obedience, the trial of a patient ruach. Maybe I'll get into another episode when I talk about the 10 trials of Abraham. But Abraham went through a lot to show that he was faithful, that he was loyal, and he became a friend to Elohim. He was not in any religion. Did he make mistakes? Yes, he made mistakes. But he owned up to those mistakes out of ignorance. It was only ignorance that he made those mistakes. For one, when he was looking at the stars, the moon, the sun, he thought they were Elohim. To the point where he reasoned within himself that this can't be Elohim because Elohim should be able to be seen all times. Who controls the sun that it goes down and comes up? Who controls the moon when it goes down and comes up? Who controls the stars at night and you don't see them in the day? He reasoned within himself to know that, okay, there's somebody controlling these aspects of the luminaries. He is who I should worship. And that's where these, they call it the Abrahamic religions from, because of, if you read somewhere in Jubilees, it talks about when he thought the sun, the moon were Elohim, the stars were Elohim, and that's all these Abrahamic religions are. Islam is the worship of the moon. It's the triple goddess or the three phases of the moon. That's what it is. That's what it started out as. That's why when Muhammad came along, he didn't want anything to do with mother god worship. And that's exactly what that Kaaba stone was. When they go around and kiss that little silvery part, it's the vagina. Look it up. It's the vagina. So initially, when they first made that Kaaba stone, it was owed to a moon goddess. And when all of them pass around and go around in a circle and they kiss that little silver part, that is supposed to be, they call it the Shivalingam or something like that. It's supposed to be the coochie. So they're going around kissing the coochie of the moon goddess. That's what it was. That's what it was for first. And so Muhammad came along and changed it. Christianity is sun god worship. Worshipping Jesus Christ that the Roman Catholic Church has made and the Greeks made is a sun god. All they did was change the names over time. Went from Mithra, from Mithraism, Serapis, then it was Jesus Christ. Even if you look it up, they said Jesus Christ was created 300 AD. The Romans created him. That's why they give him a December 25th birthday, because they made him a sun god. Judaism is the worship of the star of Rimphon. It is star worship. That's why they call it the Abrahamic religions. It has nothing to do with scripture. They just plagiarize or steal and cherry pick from scripture to make it valid, because you need something real to make people follow it. That's why these other religions like Egypt, these Egyptian gods and Greek gods and Roman gods kind of fell off, because they didn't have anything real. You just knew the stories. They were just myths. It was just like worshiping the Avengers, where everybody had a backstory. The Hulk had a backstory. Stan Lee written backstories to all these characters, but they're not real. It's nothing you could see. It's nothing you could touch. It's nothing that you've heard somebody say, this is what happened. You only had to have a blessing happened to you, and you're like, oh, it was the power of Aphrodite that this happened. Obviously, people start being a little bit smarter about this particular type of worship, because they'll be like, well, how are you a blessed and I worship Aphrodite harder than you worship? So that's when people say, you know what, I'm not worshiping it no more, because this person is getting blessed by doing some underhanded, seedious mess, and they're getting blessed saying it was Aphrodite. I'm worshiping Aphrodite. I'm giving her money. I'm giving her foods at her altar, and nothing has happened to me, so I'll just leave it. That's why I think a lot of that worship died off, because it wasn't valid. They needed somebody they could see. They needed this, like, oh, I've heard of this so-called person named Yahushua that they done changed to Jesus. I've heard of him. I've seen him. That's what makes it powerful. That's what makes people attach to those Abrahamic religions, because they've seen and heard of the prophets. They know someone that's seen them around and heard them, or they've seen somebody that or know somebody that's been touched by that, and that vibrates. That goes into writings, that goes into pictures, or whatever comes across people's minds when they say that they were in the same presence as the Messiah or presence of the prophets. That's what makes us stronger. But anyway, back to this. Let's get to Abraham's blessing to Yaakov. Jubilees 22, 10 through 13. And he called Yaakov and said, my son Yaakov, may the Elohim of all bless you and strengthen you to do righteousness and his will before him. And may he choose you and your seed that ye may become a people for his inheritance according to his will always. This is a beautiful blessing. These blessings are passed down. Not once did Noah curse Shem. Not once did Abraham curse Yaakov. Not even Isaac cursed Yaakov. And do you, my son Yaakov, draw near and kiss me. And he drew near and kissed him and said, blessed be my son Yaakov and all the sons of Elion to all the ages. May Elohim give unto you a seed of righteousness, and some of your sons may he sanctify in the midst of the whole earth. Many nations serve you, and all the nations bow themselves before your seed. Still true to this day, because they bow to Yahusha, and they will bow to Yahusha. Be strong in the presence of men and exercise authority over all the seed of Seth. Then your ways and the ways of your sons will be justified, so they shall become a holy nation. May El Elyon give you all the blessings wherewith he has blessed me and wherewith he blessed Noah and Adam. May the rest on the sacred head of your seed from generation to generation forever. We are turned back to the Most High, the line of Shem, because of this blessing. I'll continue, 14 through 19. And may he cleanse you from all unrighteousness and impurity, that you may be forgiven all the transgressions which you have committed ignorantly. May he strengthen you and bless you, and may you inherit the whole earth. This backs up Ezra. I want to say Ezra 4:7. Esau is the end of the world. Jacob is the beginning of it that follows. This blessing is attached to Abraham's blessing to Yaakov. And some of us have already cleansed ourselves from unrighteousness that we ignorantly committed. And you wonder the reason why you're called into correction is because of this blessing is forever. This is we always talk about the power of the prayers of our grandmother, but we need to start talking about how powerful the blessing of the Father is. And may he renew his covenant with you, that you may be to him a nation for his inheritance for all the ages, and that he may be to you and to your seed an Elohim in truth and righteousness throughout all the days of the earth. And do you, my son Yaakov, remember my words and observe the commandments of Abraham, your father. Separate yourselves from the nations, eat not with them, and do not according to their works, and become not their associate, for their works are unclean, and all their ways are a pollution, an abomination, and uncleanness. They offer their sacrifices to the dead, and they worship evil Ruach, and they eat over the graves, and all their works are vanity and nothingness. They have no heart to understand, and their eyes do not see what their works are, and how they err in saying to a piece of wood, you are my Elohim, and to a stone, you are my Adonai, and you are my deliverer, and they have no heart. And as for you, my son Yaakov, may El Elyon help you, and the Elohim of heaven bless you and remove you from their uncleanness, from all their error. This is why we are coming out of Babylon. Because of Abraham's blessing. And because Abraham was a friend of Elohim, a friend to Yahuwah, that blessing carries on for generation to generation to generation to generation forever. Now this is Isaac's blessing to Yaakov. Jubilees 26:23-24. And may Yahuwah give you of the dew of heaven and of the dew of the earth, and plenty of grain and oil. Let nations serve you, and peoples do bow down to you. Be prevalent over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. And may all the blessings wherewith Yahuwah has blessed me, and blessed Abraham, my father, be imparted to you and to your seed forever. Cursed be he that curses you, and blessed be he that blesses you. That is the honoring of the father. And we know that Yaakov honored his father and his mother. This is where the blessing comes. So you gotta kind of thank Yah for stepping in and making sure that Esau didn't get this blessing. Because this is the blessing that should have went to Esau. And could you imagine how wicked and Esau was if he got this blessing? That he wouldn't just rule with the sword. It'd be all manner of wickedness. It would be just like the days of Noah if Esau had his reign as much as he had it already. If he had this blessing, we will all be destroyed. We will all be watered down and wiped out. Thank Yah that he stepped in. And Abraham told Rebekah of Rivkah that Yaakov will be chosen. He knew this. So you might want to get things in order. Because he said he knows that Isaac, Yitzchak, loved Esau more than Yaakov. But Esau was not upright. He was not righteous. All of his deeds were evil. So we keep talking about, oh, Jacob was, Christians talk about Jacob was a deceiver. He was a liar. But this was coming from Yah. It needed to be this way. So this entire world won't go to shit as fast as it did already. Now, this is Isaac on his deathbed, his blessing to Yehuda. And to Yehuda, he said in Jubilees 31, 18 through 20, may Yahuwah give you strength and power to tread down all that hate you. A prince shall you be, you and one of your sons over the sons of Yaakov. May your name and the name of your sons go forth and traverse every land and region. Then shall the other nations fear before your face. And all the nations shall quake, and all the people shall quake. And in you shall be the help of Yaakov. And in you be found the Yeshua of Yasharel. This is Isaac and Yitzchak talking about Yahusha. And this is a prophecy that he felt in his last days. He felt the Ruach of prophecy. He's already talking about Yahusha generations before he came into this world. And when you sit on the throne of honor of your righteousness, and there shall be a great peace for all the seed of the sons of the beloved. Blessed be he that blesses you, and all that hate you, inflict you, and curse you shall be rooted out and destroyed from the earth and be accursed. This is why we tell, if you have any lineage to Esau, Japhet, Ashkenaz, anybody that has trodden down the seed of Yaakov mentioned in the books of Baruch, if any of you are tied to this lineage, start repenting for your generational bloodline, your lineage, for your sake. Not for their sake, for your sake. So you can cut ties with that bloodline and be grafted into Abraham's bloodline and receive the same blessings that I'm talking about that can be added onto you and your new lineage when you walk in righteousness, when you show honor to your father and you becoming a father or soon to be a father or aspirations of a father can carry the same honor on to your children. Even our enemies, and this is off the topic, but even our enemies were blessing us. Numbers 24. And when Balaam saw that it pleased Yahuwah to bless Yasharel, he went not as an author other times to seek for enchantments, but he set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Yasharel abiding in his tents according to their tribes. And the Ruach Elohim came upon him. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam, the son of Beor, has said, the man whose eyes are open has said, he has said, which heard the words of El, which saw the vision of El Shaddai falling into a trance, but having his eyes open, how goodly are your tents, O Yaakov, and your tabernacles, O Yasharel. As the valleys are they spread forth, as gardens by the riverside, as the trees of lime aloes, which Yahuwah has planted, and as cedar trees beside the waters, he shall pour the water out of his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. El brought him forth out of Mitzrayim, he has it, were the strength of a rim. He shall eat up the nations, his enemies. He shall break their bones, pierce them through with his arrows. He couched, he lay down as a lion, and as a great lion, who shall stir him up? Blessed is he that blesses you, and cursed is he that curses you. This is a whole lot of blessing on top of a blessing on top of a blessing on top of a blessing about blessing us, and blessing will come upon you if you bless us, and a curse will come upon you if you curse us. Sometimes I like to keep my mouth shut and let these nations run their mouth. And don't even try to correct them. Just so they can continue cursing. And so their whole entire seed will be accursed. Now, back to Sirach 3:10, glory not in the dishonor of your father, for your father's dishonor is no glory unto you. Now, let's go to Jubilees 23, 16 and 17 for more context. And in that generation, the sons shall convict their fathers and their elders of sin and unrighteousness and of the words of their mouth and the great wickedness which they perpetrate and concerning their forsaking the covenant which Yahuwah made between them and him, that they should observe and do all his commandments and his ordinance and all his Torah without departing either to the right hand or the left. For all have done evil, and every mouth speaks iniquity, and all their works are in uncleanness and abomination, and all their ways are pollution, uncleanness, and destruction. They shall strive one with another, the young with the old with the young, the poor with the rich, the lowly with the great, and the beggar with the prince, on account of the Torah and the covenant, for they have forgotten commandment and covenant, and feasts, and months, and Shabbats, and Jubilees, and all judgments. But let's go back to 16. And in that generation, the sons shall convict their fathers and their elders of sin and unrighteousness. Now let's go back to Sirach 3:10. Glory not in the dishonor of your father, for your father's dishonor is no glory unto you. I have been guilty of this. Guilty as sin for this. I had to repent for this. When I came into the truth, I knew and I was aware that my father was an IOTA, which is one of the old black Greek organizations. I talked about this before in the show, or in the early episodes. I even, when my Twitter was active, I was dishonoring my father through pointing out his wickedness, which is no glory unto me. I thought in my own understanding that if I'm talking about all these celebrities, I'm exposing all these black Greek organizations, these celebrities, and I've exposed myself, why would I hide and keep away my father from this reproach, from this correction? But the thing, how I was dishonoring him was, I wasn't coming to him. I was dishonoring him in front of people, in front of strangers, which was no glory unto me, because it made me look like I was even more crazy. Like, here you are, all your life, exalting your father. Now all of a sudden, you're dishonoring your father, and we don't understand why. So it was no glory to me for me to try to shame my father online or on social media. And Yah directed me to Sirach 3 when I was hot. I mean, I'm telling you, I was upset. It hit different when you worship your father, you exalted your father, you honor your father. Then you find out over time that it's been lies attached to it. But then at the end of the day, you come to an understanding that our family members, our forefathers, they were in curses. They were hit with a spiritual blindness, and all of their decisions were made based off that blindness. And the more they were blind into it, the more older they got, it's even harder for them to detach from that, because they have actually received blessings by following it this way, blessings more than they have been exalted by Yah. I have to come to this understanding. All of us have to come to it. For my father's sake, he has been exalted in the field of coaching football. I mean, my dad won 4 state championships in Maryland. He's in the Maryland High School Hall of Fame. I mean, he's one of the very few black coaches in Division I history that's actually a very highly exalted recruiter. I mean, my dad got accomplishments, is what I'm saying. And he did it a way where he's attached to an organization. I can't go as far as deep as I wanted to go on this without transgressing this, the honoring your father part. But it's the same thing with Abraham in Jubilees 12. Verse 1 through 5, and then, 1 through 8, actually. And it came to pass in the 6th week, in the 7th year thereof, that Abraham said to Terah his father, saying, Father. And he said, Behold, here I am, my son. And he said, What help and profit have we from those idols which you do worship, and for which you do bow yourself? For there is no ruach in them. For they are dumb forms and a misleading of the heart. Worship them not. Worship the Elohim of heaven, who causes the rain and the dew to descend on the earth and does everything upon the earth, and has created everything by his word, and all life is from before his face. Why do you worship things that have no ruach in them? For they are the work of men's hands, and on your shoulders do ye bear them, and ye have no help from them. But they are a great cause of shame to those who make them, and a misleading of the heart to those who worship them. Worship them not. And his father said unto him, I also know it, my son. But what shall I do with a people who have made me to serve before them? And if I tell them the truth, they will slay me. For their soul cleaves to them to worship them and honor them. Keep silent, my son, lest they slay you. And these words he spoke to his two brothers, and they were angry with him, and he kept silent. So Abraham is in a tough predicament. Very tough predicament, because remember, Abraham had to be sent away for the love of Terah, because Nimrod wanted Abraham killed. And so Abraham comes back after being in the house of Noah and Shem. He's learning righteousness. He wasn't in the house of Japheth or Ham. He was in the house of Noah and Shem, getting these generational blessings. So understand the company you keep. Where you go, are you getting generational blessings from who you're around, or are you getting generational curses? Start thinking about why you're in isolation, so you can start for yourself formulating generational blessings and not attaching it to any curses by being around people you shouldn't be around, even family members. So Abraham comes back to his father's house and understanding now who really made this entire world. And he's trying to correct his father with patience, with time, with love, with gentleness. Abraham didn't say, my father over worshiping these dumb idols and going around the whole village and town talking about how his father ain't doing it right. He didn't do that. That's what I'm guilty of. And it was so worse that I was dishonoring my father to the point where I wouldn't talk to my father for like 3 or 4 years. And to tell you the truth, in the last relationship I was in, when I was getting ready to get married, I wasn't going to invite any of my family members to the wedding. Like I was already telling my ex-fiance that I was going to invite my parents. My parents weren't going to show up. My brother and sister wasn't going to show up. It's only by Yah and his dealing with me and the timing of everything that I allowed my mother and my father to give me a blessing during the ceremony of my wedding, because during the ceremony, there were 7 blessings. So she had her cousin do a blessing and her mother do a blessing. I had brother Matt Colo, that you see me interview on this show. He did a blessing. My daughter did a blessing. My niece did a blessing. And then my mother and father did a blessing for me. I think that was very important for Yah to create this space and create a bond and reintroduce me to my family again for this specific ceremony. So I had to clean up what I was doing in the front end with the relationship with my parents, and now I'm getting grace and mercy and long suffering because now I'm teaching my mother the sefer, I'm teaching her the real names, I'm calling her out of Christianity. My father is a hard situation because he works more times than he ever has time to, you know, pick up scripture and actually read. So I'm dealing with my father like Abraham. I have to deal with Terah, like with kid gloves. But I'm showing honor to my father as much as I can without transgressing the heavenly father. I think that is also important to understand when it comes to honoring your parents. Sirach 3:11. For the glory of a man is from the honor of his father, and a mother in dishonor is a reproach to the children. My son, help your father in his age, and grieve him not as long as he lives. And if his understanding fail, have patience with him, and despise him not when you are in your full strength. I am in my full strength, physically and spiritually. And I've seen over time how frail my father was getting. He's lost weight. I mean, my father's big. My father's built he played D tackle, DN in college. So he's about my height, but a lot wider. Now he's slimmed down in size. And I've challenged my father before. I'm going to tell y'all this now. I challenged my father. One time I came home, it was right after I got arrested in Las Vegas for another domestic violence thing. And he called for me to come home. So I was sent home from Vegas to, at the time we were living in State College, PA. They call it Happy Valley. So I got sent home there. I was there and I had this girlfriend. And at the time, I wanted a girl who could party and do drugs with. And me and her was just as toxic can be. I'm glad there was no social media popping like that. We were putting our business in on social media because it was messy. And what she did was sneak up ecstasy. I took ecstasy. We went out. I got drunk. I destroyed my car. I hit my car on the guardrail. And I just happened to get home safely with like nothing happening. But the whole side of my car from the driver's side was ripped. I'm talking about ripped from the guardrail. My dad saw me. He was going to come looking for me out in the streets. So he see me pass him leaving out, you know, coming back into the development. He's coming out. So he turns around and I parked my car. He parks right next to me. And then he just grabs me like, you know, he jack you up. He grabbed me by the front of my shirt and I just wrenched off and he fell down. And then, you know, we start tussling. I don't know why we started tussling, but we ain't fighting, but we wrestling almost. And he not letting me breathe and move and all that. So I've challenged my father when he was in his full strength and I was drunk and high. So now, you know, I'm not going to disrespect or dishonor my father by now knowing that I'm in my full strength is to try to rule over him or try to reprimand him or bring him under me. Right? It's not something that y'all want. And I ain't trying to curse my entire bloodline and curse my children through being disobedient to my father. And it says, for the relieving of your father shall not be forgotten. And instead of sins, it shall be added to build you up. So instead of become a sin or a reproach to yourself, you built up your parents. Even when you come into this knowledge and come into this understanding, come into this, the full strength of your Ruach, be gentle as Abraham was gentle, his father, and gentle to those who didn't know about Yahuwah. Now, I'm not saying as soon as you sit down with them, pound them over the top of the head with the truth. No, you have to plant seeds, especially with our fathers, because they come from a different type of stiff-neckedness. They come from where they're ruling their household or have been ruling their households their way. So their spirituality or what they, the concept of their religion and their spirituality is a lot different than our mothers. I mean, our mothers know that they love the sons. So they listen to that secondary man in the house because they birthed us. So they have a different connection with us than they do their husbands. But when it comes to the man and his strength and his you know, his fortitude, he is not going to be moved until, and especially not in your direction, because you do something completely different than what he has been successful in doing his entire life. He thinks he's right because he's been blessed in his mind through this world of being right. So it's going to be hard for you with this particular type of man, this particular type of stubbornness. So you have to hit him in his older age. He'll start to loosen up. In his older age, he'll start to weaken. In his older age, he'll lose his strength. And this is when that seed of righteousness, that seed will begin to start working. That right now, my father seeing me as an Israelite at my wedding is doing more than I could ever do in words right now. So when he gets to his frail stage, then I can actually sit down and he won't fight me on this. He will be able to be in a spot where he will not move around, do too much, and run from this truth. He will actually be a lot more comforting and understanding in his position because he knows his days are shortened. So he's not going to fight me on everything. I just have to wait it out. I have to show the type of patience that Abraham showed in his 10th trial, which I said, I will do another episode on the 10 trials of Abraham. But this is what the whole package of honoring your father and honoring your mother is about, but specifically honoring your father. We do so because it's a blessing unto us so we can get a blessing from the Father. Regardless if he's in his ignorance, regardless if he's in his unrighteousness, it don't matter. Just like when we give to the poor, we don't know if they're righteous or unrighteous, because somebody made a comment and said, well, why give to the poor if they're going to turn around, you know, buy drugs with it? If you read scripture, the Most High says that he will listen to the prayers of the homeless. Regardless what state they're in, he will listen to the prayers of the homeless. And if they curse you, he will require their words at your hand. So I don't care what they do with my money. When they take my money and they say, God bless you, may God bless you, that is a blessing. You have to remember, when you fast and you don't eat for a while, you don't drink any water, your soul rises to the surface. And your words can be heard through the clouds when you're in a fasting state. Homeless people are in a constant state of fasting. So their soul, and whatever soul or ruach they have, rises to the surface on a day-to-day basis because they do not eat. They are not at their full strength with food or nourishment. When you see these homeless people on the streets talking to themselves, that's because their ruach is to the surface, that they are being, whatever is coming into their body, whatever is coming into their mind, is at a heightened level. So either they're talking to demons or they're having a conversation with their thoughts. It's at a heightened state. Just like when we fast, you feel different. You know, you can feel like you're just running on empty, but you're running on ruach, pure ruach. That's them most of the time. So when they bless you or curse you, those words are getting shot up because they're in a low state with a high, with a high sensitivity rate in their ruach. So this is where in scripture it says that if you do not give to the poor, and if they pray to me, if they say, oh, curse this guy from not giving to me, curse this guy from not, you know, showing me comfort, to making my life a little bit more at ease. Curse this guy. And the Most High is going to listen to those words and come down like, why didn't you give? If you had it in your pockets, why didn't you give? So now I'm going to take away all that you have, even if you have nothing. You don't want that in your life. So it ain't up to you what they do with that money. It's up to you to show that you have the Ruach HaKodesh and you pity the poor. The Most High has said multiple times in scripture to give to the poor, give alms to the poor, watch over the fatherless, and do good to the widow. That's what it says. So in closing, it is important to honor our mother and father. And if you are a father or soon to be father or have aspirations to being a father, know that when it comes to getting ready to bless your children, be sure that you are righteous so that blessing can carry throughout generations. So now we're living off of Abraham. People like to say, oh, we're living off our grandmother's prayers. No, we are living off the blessing and prayers of Abraham. From Noah to Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to Judah, we are living their blessings. We are living their righteousness. The reason why we are called back and turned so very quickly unto Yahuwah in very short span of time is because not only of prophecy, but because of the blessings of our forefathers. Set those blessings in order for yourself and for your household to carry on for generations to come. Do not be accursed. And if you're outside the nation of Israel, this goes for you too. Bless Yahuwah of Elohim, bless Yahuwah Elohaka of heaven. Bless him for giving us Abraham, for giving us Yitzchak, Isaac, and giving us Yaakov, Yasharel, and giving us Yehuda, giving us Yahusha as well. Bless he that made us, so a blessing can be added unto you and to your generations forevermore. There's plenty of blessings to go around. Like he said, he made this world for many, but the world to come for few. And the Most High said he has blessings, so many blessings to bestow upon us, we won't have room enough to fill it. Make sure these blessings are added unto you through your works, through your righteousness, and through the honoring of your parents. Let's see y'all Sunday.